The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, July the 29th, 2026, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Farce Multiplier. And the time is 8:54 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Okay, so here's what I've got to moan about since last week's show. So let's go over to the stories that I have saved here. First up, this is no surprise, and it's a bit dated now, of course, the World Cup finished a couple of weeks ago. But Donald Trump couldn't resist standing on the podium with the winning team, Spain, just as he'd done a year earlier with Chelsea when they won the Club World Cup in America. And at the time, it was deemed inappropriate then, and it's inappropriate now. In fact, there were even reports that the head of FIFA, Infantino, something like that, he sounds pretty infantile, to be honest, but that's just a personal opinion. He was trying to sort of manoeuvre him off the stage, but of course Trump thinks that he's part of the winners, as he always says. He's always saying how many wins that we get, like he said how many wars he's stopped, but he just seems to be involved in starting them, and the ones he said he stopped, I didn't know, were at war anyway, but there you go, maybe I'm missing certain news there. Somebody tried to, well, they screamed at Nigel Farage when they saw him on the street while they were driving their car, and then crashed the car, which I'm not a big fan of Farage, but people deciding to shout out the window at people, then, you know, becoming an architect of their own misfortune afterwards is one of these sort of, it's an age-old thing, isn't it? The architect of your own misfortune. Now, if you hadn't have shouted at this guy, is that the best you can do? You see somebody you don't like on the street and you start shouting at them. It sounds rather thuggish, doesn't it, that sort of behaviour, rather than approach them with any grievance in a measured and proper manner. So no sympathy for them. I just hope no one was hurt. Get this. I always talk about communism. Well, one of the, and the fact that we live under communism today disguised as democracy, well, one of the tenets of communism is they tax the life out of people. It's always, everything is used to generate money for the state. So now you'll see, I mean, all sorts of things going on with these delivery drivers on their motorized bicycles riding the wrong way down one-way streets. Nothing ever seems to happen to them. I've never, ever once seen a policeman stop one of them going the wrong way down a street. And I have to look now both ways when I cross one-way streets. I say it pretty much every week because it happens all the time. And I'm thinking, well, why? It can't just be happening to me. So why isn't this being dealt with? Why aren't these people stopped? It's almost as if, like the communists say, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. When it comes to the law, it's not what the laws are, it's the laws that we choose to enforce. And at the moment, we choose to enforce laws against people who say things that we don't like, rather than enforce laws against people who drive the wrong way down the street and may seriously injure or kill someone. You see, because the laws are about how the people in control use them. They're for their benefit. Don't think they're for your benefit for one minute. But anyway, it turns out in the UK now, I mean, things rarely shock me, but what's happened is if you buy a car for more than £40,000, you have to pay a tax which is called an expensive vehicle supplement, and it's £425 that you have to pay on a car over £40,000. But get this, you don't just pay it once, you have to pay it every year for the first 5 years of owning the car. Or rather, you have to pay it for the first 5 years after the second year of owning the car, so it ends up costing you over £2,000. And again, can somebody show me where tax money is being spent for my benefit? Because even the other day, I was out and I was looking at my streets and they're a mess. And I'm not talking about rubbish strewn everywhere, although it generally is. But they're stained. It's like oil's been poured all over them and stuff like that. They're just not clean. I'm thinking, this is just... Why is this? Why have we got no upkeep? Why is there no maintenance? Anything like that? It's almost by design. They want to dirty everything up. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, really? And again, I don't know what's being done with tax money for my benefit. Because all I've experienced in my life is a gradual erosion of all things good as I've got older. But the money that we pay goes up and up. So it's obviously paying for somebody's benefit, but certainly not my own. What else have I got here? There's been a lot of talk. I mean, I've recorded the whole Bible, the proper name version of the King James Bible, in which the names of Yahweh, the true name of God, and Yeshua, the true name of Jesus Christ, are restored in the King James Version, and the language is updated, making it easier to understand. I've recorded that. I've already run through it once, and I'm now running through it again. So every day, there is always a show on achshow.com. A couple of times a week, it's new content. And the other days, and that's generally this show, I'm talking to you. And then a show with Dr. Peter Hammond that generally goes out on the Tuesdays. And then all the other days, apart from Sundays, when I do a show on the parables of Jesus Christ, is a reading from the Bible, in this easy-to-understand language with the proper names of Jesus Christ and God restored as Yeshua and Yahweh, respectively. But I keep hearing about things like the Book of Enoch, which isn't in my Bible. It's not even in the Apocrypha, not the King James Apocrypha that I've got. And I thought to myself, I stopped recording the Bible back in March. I finished it. I didn't finish broadcasting it until May. And I always worry, am I doing enough for God? And I'm rebroadcasting what I read. And there's these other materials here, so I sought advice on them. And I was pretty much told there's nothing wrong per se with the Apocrypha, but it's not, there are bits in it, I think in the Book of Maccabees, where you can buy your way out of sin. When if people read that, they might think that that's acceptable, and of course it isn't, according to the other passages in the Bible, and that's probably one of the reasons why it wasn't included in the Bible. So you can by all means go and read the Apocrypha, but you could be encouraging people to follow error. And with the Book of Enoch that people are pushing, I've seen it pushed so much, I'm starting to think, well, you know, is this done by design to get people to look at that rather than the Bible? Because we hear all these people coming out these days and saying that they're Christians and there's a surge in Christianity, but are they really? Have they actually read any of the words of Jesus Christ? And what I recommend, rather than all this stuff that keeps being promoted, like the Ethiopian Bible and all the Book of Enoch and stuff like that, even the Apocrypha is being promoted, it all seems to be trying to get people away from the King James Bible. If you want to read something short, get a copy of the King James Bible with the words of Christ in red, and then just read those to start off with. And you'll learn a hell of a lot more than you will out of these other things that won't just teach you less. They'll actually divert you in a different direction, which I believe is by design. So I typed into Amazon, King James Bible, Words of Christ in Red, and they give you a couple of things that are sponsored at the top. I don't know why I get sponsored stuff. I mean, you can sponsor products on a shop now called Amazon. It's really bizarre, and something's been done to that site in recent years, where in the past you would get, if you put in a particular product you wanted, including the brand, that would come up at the top. But now they push that down because they've got other brands that they want to sell you rather than that. So they're even trying to get you to change your mind. It's amazing the world we live in today, and it is so ridiculous what we're having to put up with. But we scroll past this nonsense that I didn't want, this sponsored result. So the first result I get is for Holy Bible, King James Version, Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Words of Christ in Red. And you can scroll down there at all differing prices. I've got a couple. I've got one here that I can hold in my hand, and then I've got a big Bible that you keep in a box with the words in Christ in Red. I believe that that's a Nelson's Bible. You can still read it, it's just a bit more cumbersome to carry around and things like that, and getting it in and out the box and stuff. But yeah, it's useful to have, and just to read these words and see what Jesus Christ said. Because I worry that many of these people who call themselves Christians today may be similar to as I was when I was a child. You'd hear who won the FA Cup or who won the Football League, something like that, the soccer, and suddenly you were a fan of that team. Yeah, because that's what people are talking about. So you can name one player, but you're a fan of that team. I think if you are a Christian, or you call yourself a Christian, then it's not a great ask to read the words of Jesus Christ, start off with those, because you're taking his name as your belief. And so you should really read what he had to say, because at the end of it, you might even think to yourself, actually, now that I've read it, I don't agree. Because I think it's more important to be honest in what you represent than not. So that's my advice. Forget all this Apocrypha, Book of Enoch, all that sort of stuff. And then other people who go out there and they'll tell you a lot of stuff that you might agree with, and then you'll hear them promoting Flat Earth. Now, I've said before, I don't look into Flat Earth because a couple of reasons. Firstly, there's so much more going on in the world that caused me problems, like having to look both ways before I cross the road, and what's being done about that. The whether the earth is flat or round, how does that affect me whatsoever? I think I've been to over 30 countries in my life. I've flown to many of them. Whether the world is flat or round doesn't affect me, but for me, it's a bit like tinfoil hat. Now, I've heard the term tinfoil hat, but I don't know what it means. Do they put tinfoil around their hat to protect them from something, presumably? What is it, from aliens, from sun rays? I don't know. But I know it's a term that's used in a derogatory manner, in the same way that, oh, you think the earth is flat, oh, you dummy, that sort of thing. But because it's such an entrenched term, like tinfoil hat, people that tell you a lot of truth but also keep talking about that as well, what they're doing, whether intentionally or unintentionally, is they're discrediting the truth by grouping it with something that's already been got such a bad press. As I say, whether the earth is flat or round, the vast majority of people wouldn't just tell you it was round. They'd immediately assume that anyone who thought it was flat was an idiot, didn't know what they were talking about, and therefore wouldn't listen to anything else that they said. Does that make sense? And so that's the danger of people that talk about flat earth. And don't tell me that they wouldn't have known what I just said either, that this could discredit other things that they say. And then you have to say, well, why would they do it? For me, the most important thing is what's in the Bible, what Jesus Christ says. And that's why I have these Bible readings going up more often than not each week. Bible readings are the most things that I do, generally at least 4 a week, plus the parables. Okay, so let's move on, see what else I've got for you here. There's been a group of experts in the UK. Isn't it nice when you get experts together? These are the sort of people that tell you you should take a vaccine that's not been tested. They're experts, and we have to follow the experts. Isn't it? It's strange as well, isn't it, that the experts always seem to parrot the company line or the government line, the experts, don't they? Well, we're being told by the mainstream media about these experts, Britain's artificial intelligence security experts. They don't actually say who they are, but they're apparently experts. So again, just like when people hear flat earth, discredit everything that person says, expert, oh, we must believe everything that person says. That's how the most mainstream people think, in my opinion. I might be wrong. But what they're saying is that artificial intelligence, every artificial intelligence model that they've tested goes rogue. So in other words, it doesn't do what it was intended. It might even develop a life of its own that it's not been programmed to do. Isn't that convenient? If suddenly we have the banks go down, something like that, and people lose a lot of money. Oh, it weren't our fault. It was the artificial intelligence. Nothing to do with us. No. See what I mean? Very convenient, isn't it, that they're starting to float that idea out there in the mainstream media that all AI models that they've tested have gone rogue. So that's just something that's worth keeping your eye on there. Why are they putting this information out there? They don't put things out if they're not going to rely on them later. Not necessarily that they will, but they want that card in their deck in case they need to play it. Let's move on to... this is another one. When I first got into conspiracies and stuff in the 90s, there was a couple of books I wanted. There was one by, I think, Hoffman, not the famous Michael Hoffman, but a different Hoffman. I think it might be David Hoffman. It was called The Oklahoma City Bombing and the Politics of Terror. And I believe he was prosecuted for writing that book in America. So I found a copy online back then in the late 90s, you know, when you had to sort of use the computer at work, you know, you didn't have your own computer and stuff like that. And the other book was Trail of the Octopus, which was by Donald Goddard and a couple of people. Again, that was about the Lockerbie bombing. And in that book, the claim was made that what was happening was there was a drug route being used by the DEA to try and entrap people that was using that flight, Pan Am flight, the Lockerbie flight, I think it was 103, that was bombed and came down in Lockerbie in 1988, full of all these, mainly American, a lot of American service people going home for Christmas, a real tragedy, I remember it at the time, exploded over Scotland, killed 259 people on board, as well as 11 people that were in the town of Lockerbie on the ground. So in this book, Trail of the Octopus, it talks about how some terrorists became aware of this operation that was being done. And so they substituted the drugs for a bomb. That's sort of an interesting story. You're interested in conspiracies, have a look into that sort of thing. But what has gained more prominence over the years is a guy, he's a doctor. His daughter, Flora, died in the bombing. And his name is Jim Swire. And he has maintained for years, pretty much ever since not long after the attack when he started looking into it. So we're getting on for 40 years now, because it was 1988 and we're now in 2026. He's for years said that Iran was behind the attack and not Libya. One thing that always struck me is earlier that year, only 5 months before the Lockerbie bombing, a US Navy ship shot down an Iranian commercial airliner. I believe they said it was an accident. And it killed 290 people. And so you kind of put two and two together and say, well, was it revenge by Iran for doing that? You know, I'm a Christian, so I go by Christian law, Christian faith, these sorts of things. In Iran, there's a big Muslim population. Their laws might be different when it comes to how you avenge someone's death, for example. I'm not sure. I've not read it. But again, whether you want to include that or not, it looks rather suspicious that one of their planes carrying nearly 300 people is shot down by Americans, and then 5 months later, a American plane carrying American service personnel, amongst other people as well, but I remember them saying at the time there were many American service personnel on it, that gets shot down, that gets blown up. But this guy, Jim Swire, over the years, because I followed this story, the mainstream have always, oh, this guy, you know, they try to be nice about it because he lost his daughter, but very much want to discredit anything with pointing the finger anywhere other than Libya. This guy insisting it was Iran. But not so much now. I'm starting to see articles in the mainstream media. Yeah, maybe this Jim Swire's got something. Yeah, maybe he's stumbled upon something here. We never talked about it when he was talking about it before, what, we toppled Saddam Hussein, before we toppled, rather, Gaddafi in Iraq. No. You see, it was important that we toppled Gaddafi in Iraq. I remember reading Gaddafi said that if you got rid of him, he acted as like a gatekeeper to the West, and he prevented all these people on the continent in which he lived from coming to the West. He said, they will flood the West if you get rid of me. Well, I don't know, did he really say that? Was that something in the independent media? What's life like today? In fact, I remember being told how much we have to get rid of Saddam Hussein, how much we have to get rid of Colonel Gaddafi. Has your life got any better since we got rid of Saddam Hussein and Colonel Gaddafi? Mine hasn't. Again, it's just got worse. So who are the people that have benefited from this? Because it's not me. But we're told it's imperative we get rid of these people. But going back to Jim Swire, isn't it convenient now that we've got this conflict with Iran going on, that suddenly this guy's saying that Iran were behind the Lockerbie bombing, when some people are starting to get a bit bored of this? They're starting to think, well, you know what? I didn't vote to, you know, support this conflict in Iran. I was quite happy earlier in the year when the petrol price was cheaper, before the bombings of Iran took place. I was quite happy when my natural gas price was cheaper still, when we still had Nord Stream 2, before the Ukraine-Russia conflict that we're told we have to get involved in and send all this money to Ukraine. Well, what could that money have been spent on in this country for my benefit? Why is it suddenly all being spent there and being told it's for my benefit, when all I see is my own prices going up? And when they start to see that, they think, oh, you know, we've got to be a bit careful. Can we get a bit more support for this? And what a perfect person to turn to, someone who says that Iran were behind the Lockerbie bombing. Oh, well, look, they did Lockerbie after all. We can say it now because we've got rid of, you know, Gaddafi's out the way. So we destroyed what we had to do over there. So we can use that information now to our advantage. We couldn't use it back then. We had to shut the guy up because we had to say it was Libya to justify attacking Libya. But now that Libya's no more, we can use what he's saying to justify what we're doing to Iran. Now, as I say, I might be completely wrong. I have a very conspiratorial mind. I think to myself, when I see things are going on, I'm not saying I'm conspiratorial, I'm saying I see what's going on, and I think, no, I don't know if I trust that, really. You know, try and read between the lines what's really going on. That old saying, qui bono, who benefits? And again, do you benefit? I certainly don't benefit. So who does? Let's go over to... It turns out the firm Johnson & Johnson, that we've all heard of, there's been some legal action that's been going on for years. Hold on a moment. Great, isn't it? You stop smoking for 9 months and you get all this coughing. I cough less when I smoked, quite frankly. There you go. So they've had some case that in the United States that it's baby powder and had caused ovarian cancer. I think other products that they do as well. I've not looked into it too much. But the thing is that what they've done is the people bringing the case Johnson & Johnson have now agreed to settle for $5.5 billion, which is over £4 billion. Now, when I see a figure like that, you have to think to yourself, how much profit can a company be making in order to be able to pay a settlement of that size? And it takes you back to capitalism, doesn't it? I'll give you an example. When I was younger, I got interested in rare records. And initially it was a friend got me interested in it. And I kind of wish he hadn't, because I was listening to my favourite band at the time, were Dire Straits. I was 13, 14 years old. There was a rare record shop we'd go into. And oh, look, you know, there's the Dire Straits' the French single of Romeo and Juliet. It's got a different picture sleeve than the one in the UK. Oh, isn't that good? Let's get that. And then you never look at it again. Things like that. But what I ended up doing was going to record fairs and then finding out how it all worked. And how you could, you know, buy records yourself and sell them. And the way that they worked at record fairs, most of these these sellers there that would buy records off, some of them would buy records off you to sell them, they'd give you half what they paid. Sorry, they'd give you half what they would sell for. And there was even one shop, I'm not sure if it works the same way now, but it was the, they'd give you half cash, two-thirds exchange. And so you could, if they were going to sell it for a tenner, you know, give you £5 cash or £7.50 as a voucher to put towards anything in the shop. And that's reasonable. Didn't think so at the time. I thought they could have given me a bit more. But when I was given 5% royalties on my first book with my first publisher, and then you find out actually that's generous. Some people only get like 1%, and it all revolves around what they do is they balance out distribution with royalty. So you can go for, say for example, you go for 5%. Well, your book won't receive as much promotion. But if you go for 1%, they'll put your book on stands in supermarkets and promote it. Something like that. That's the way I've heard that it works. I've never been involved with a mainstream publisher, so I'm not quite sure in practice. But that's how it works. So, going back to, as I always meander my way through, going back to Johnson & Johnson, what are they paying for what they sell if they can afford that amount of money? $5.5 billion to pay the settlement and still be a going company. And what are companies actually making? What, all our prices are going up everywhere. What profit do these companies make? Or it'd be nice to see what actual profit they make on your basket of goods you take home, because I imagine it's much more than they pay much less than half that the record dealers were paying for a record. I think they pay a fraction of what they charge you, and that's where the bulk of the money goes to them. The people that have no, they don't produce the goods or anything like that, they just sell it. So there you go. Okay, I think that that's everything here. So I did mention last week that I was going to look through republicbroadcastingarchives.org looking for more shows to listen to. And indeed I have. So I'm just going to go over there now. I did have the window open, but stupidly I closed it when I opened something else. So republicbroadcastingarchives.org. I've pretty much listened to most of the shows, and there are some good shows on there. First up, on a Monday to Friday, you start off with a three-hour show called The John Moore Show, which is quite interesting because on RBN, as we call it, republicbroadcastingarchives.org is the website if you want to download the shows, they have commercial breaks. And I know where the commercial breaks are in most of the shows. They're on the 20-minute mark, at the 30-minute mark, somewhere around the 42-minute mark, and then about the 57-minute mark. I might be a little bit out on those, but that's how it was. Some recent shows have come along, some one-hour shows, and they have one break in the hour, and that is at the half-hour mark. But the John Moore show that kicks off for 3 hours Monday to Friday, you get your commercial breaks, and then he gives you his own commercials of his products that he wants to push after the RBN commercial break. So if you love commercials, then that is the show for you. Moving forward, I do listen to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, and particularly his Monday show with Mark Collett and his Friday show, The Dankoff Report, with Mark Dankoff. But he also does a show on Tuesday. It's quite interesting. It's with Jeremy from Kentucky, who I had on my show. Very nice guy. And I was listening to that for a while, and I don't know why I stopped. I think I was trying to listen to different things like that. But on Tuesdays, he does the Patrick and Jeremy show. So you get the first hour in National Bugle Radio on republicbroadcastingarchives.org. And then the very last hour of Tuesday is In Plain Sight with Jeremy from Kentucky, where you get the Patrick and Jeremy show part two. It's recorded in one hit, to my knowledge. And then they broadcast the first half when Patrick goes out earlier in the day, and the second half when Jeremy's show goes out in the evening. Jeremy from Kentucky, he has his In Plain Sight show every day, and he covers different things with different guests. There's one episode that he does that has Bruce Hornsby's Across the River as the theme tune. And as soon as I heard that opening up a show, I was reminded of the Roger Ebert statement, the Stanton Walsh rule, that any film that has either Harry Dean Stanton or M. Emmett Walsh in cannot be entirely bad. Any show that opens up with a Bruce Hornsby song, there's got to be something that these guys are doing right. And I keep thinking, I keep meaning to look, whether Across the River is off the second album or the third album. And I still don't know, and I haven't got around to looking it up. But I've got all Bruce Hornsby's albums going up to about 10 years ago. Even a box set called Intersections, which has got a track on it called Crown of Jewels Live, which is one of his best tracks. The only studio version I'm aware of is one that he did some bluegrass thing with some other guys named Slips of Mind. I think the album was called Cluck Old Hen, and he does like bluegrass versions of Super Freak and stuff like that. It's, to be honest, I find it a bit tiresome. You know, if I want to listen to parodies, I'll listen to a decent parody like a Weird Al Yankovic. I think it all started off years ago when Tori Amos, she did a piano version of Smells Like Teen Spirit on a B-side of one of her singles. But this live version of Crown of Jewels is just amazing, brilliantly done. And I think he's a bit of a lefty, though. I've always wondered what his song The Way It Is would sound like if the lyrics were rewritten using the words, or rather the content, of a Colin Flaherty book. But again, that's something that I've never got round to either. So I've been enjoying different shows, and I recommend that you go over to Republic Broadcasting Archives, because what is my taste may not necessarily be yours, and you can download things for free. So what I did is I just went through, they have different shows. Some shows are only on one day during the week, so the only way you're going to find out everything is if you just go through all 7 days in a week and then listen to different things. As I say, there's a variety of things there that I enjoy and I'm going to start listening to, but these are the two that jumped out at me, those shows. So there you go. That's something I thought we'd touch on, because I'm always encouraging people to find other things to listen to, because they're so... There's a lot of content out there, but there's very little good content. And that, again, I think is by design. Okay, have I covered everything here? I believe I have. So let's go over to my little script that I wrote up. And now for the something for you to listen to section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Julian Cope's Mick Mack Mock, which was released on his Sunspots double 7-inch single in 1985, and not as part of his 1984 Fried album, as indicated by the YouTube image. It did, however, feature an extra track on the compact disc version released in 1996, which I have, whilst its chorus can also be heard whenever you're in my vicinity and I receive a phone call, as I am currently using it as my ringtone, and it goes like this.
Mick Mack Mock 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 Zing Zang. Mick Mack Mock 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 Zing Zang. Mick Mack Mock 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 Zing Zang. Mick Mack Mock 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 Zing Zang.
I imagine this ringtone delights anyone within earshot to no end, but at least I have the courtesy to take the call through the phone and not via the speaker that so many people do these days, people who obviously seem to think you're going to be interested in what is going on in their lives. Okay, so today's film review is of Stanley Kubrick's first film, Fear and Desire, which was released in 1953. Described as an anti-war film, which, although unrelated, was released at the height of the Korean War, Kubrick since referred to the film as, and I quote, a bumbling amateur film exercise, and tried to burn the film's negative along with any leftover prints of the film. Indeed, the only commercially available print belonged to the George Eastman House in Rochester, New York, until 2010, when an original copy of the film was discovered at a Puerto Rican film laboratory. The film was restored, and being as it has since fallen into the public domain, you can now watch it for free on YouTube, the link to which will be available in the post for this show at achshow.com. I found it a bit boring, to be honest, nothing like The Shining, Kubrick's film about the Apollo 11 moon landings. And in fact, this takes me to another point. I did say that I'd stopped ordering things online because I'm sick and tired of waiting for them so long for them to arrive. When I found this Kubrick film and found it was free and was able to watch it, I'd found a copy of Paths of Glory a few weeks ago in a charity shop, and it wasn't bad, actually. I don't tend to go for black and white films, but it was very well done. And I suddenly realised there were only two Kubrick films now that I didn't have. And that's, I think, The Killing and Killer's Kiss. I think that's what they're called. In between Fear and Desire and Paths of Glory. And I decided to order it. So I ordered it from a company on eBay that I've used before. 3 days later, it's still not been dispatched. I write to him and say, look, dude, what's going on? I didn't put dude, but what's going on here? Oh, I got an email back. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we're not able to dispatch it at the moment. Please bear with us. I mean, that's no answer, is it? So you've got circumstances beyond your control, but it didn't stop me from taking my money. Why didn't you write to me first and say, look, there's a delay. You might want to order it elsewhere. So I ended up cancelling it, and they cancelled it. Fair enough, I had to wait a couple of days for the money to come back into the onto the credit card. But it was funny because I was sort of pleased to order it, but this was before I'd seen the Fear and Desire film, and I wasn't impressed. And quite frankly, Paths of Glory was probably about the best one up until 2001, A Space Odyssey. I mean, I didn't like Lolita. That was black and white. But if it was colour, I wouldn't have liked it either. Same with Doctor Strangelove. Doctor Strangelove, oh, what a classic film. Oh, it's a masterpiece. Oh, it's this, that, and the other. It's a comedy. I don't think I'll laugh once watching it. You know, if I want to see a black and white comedy, I'll put on Laurel and Hardy. Now, that's funny. But for me, Doctor Strangelove is for people, you know, very highbrow. You know, I don't get it. I'm not intellectual enough. Oh, you have to be, oh, it's a Kubrick masterpiece, all this sort of garbage. But again, so I suddenly thought to myself after I cancelled it, and I could have done without Paths of Glory as well. Is it really worth buying these things? So it was quite welcome to me that they didn't send it and I got my money back. And I think a lot of these things now, it's easier to just pick things up as you go. Because there's nothing, if there was something I really, really wanted, I'd buy it. But there's nothing I really, really want. So you end up going into charity shops and picking things up that you might not have even thought of. And there's something that I'm going to talk about that I picked up at a car boot sale that I would never in my life have dreamed of looking up to buy. I wouldn't even have heard of it. And it's like one of those things I've said before. You buy something for a bit of entertainment and it tells you something else that you completely did not expect. And you're like, wow. I was trying to get away from the stuff, my specialised subject, as they say on Mastermind. I was trying to get away from that by reading this or watching this. And suddenly, you tell me something about that right in the middle of it. And I'm like, wow, I never even heard of that before. And that's when I know that a God exists, when stuff like that are put in my life. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now. And my little comment, Nothing Like Us, The Shining, my favourite film of Kubrick, about the Apollo 11 moon landings. Look up The Shining Code. Look up Secrets of The Shining. You used to be able to find them on the internet fairly freely and easily to watch. Now it might be a bit more difficult. They want to charge for absolutely everything. But it points out all these references to the moon landings in Stanley Kubrick's film The Shining. And if it was 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. But there's like 50, 60, 70 of these things that people will try and tell us is all absolutely coincidental. Nothing to see here. And when there's as many as that, and some of them you can look at and you think, yeah, I think you're stretching it there a bit, pal. But more often than not, you have to think, there's something going on here. So I really recommend that you look into that. If you see that film, Secrets of the Shining or The Shining Code, well worth a watch. Some of them talk about the 2001 film first. That bit's all a bit boring. Just zoom over to The Shining bit. And then once you've seen that, if you enjoy that, you can go back and watch what they'd say about 2001. And you might end up liking that yourself. So there you go. Okay, let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So let's start off with... we'll go over to AP News, I think. APnews.com. Is that the one? Yep, there it is. Associated Press. See if I can get the headline out. Jordan intercepts Iranian missiles as US and Saudi Arabia launch strikes against militias in Iraq. I was listening to the John Moore show I mentioned earlier on Tuesday. I've always, for quite a while now, listened to hours 2 and 3, the Tuesday Roundtable. And someone's pointed out, why is it that Iran, when you've got all these American ships over there and their claims about Israel being behind the war, why are they attacking places like Saudi, all these other countries around them? And that, again, that mystified me. Unless you start to think, well, maybe the cover story is the cover story. What have we heard about for years and years? We've heard about how we need to use less energy. Many people are using less energy because the prices have gone up and up. That happened after the Nord Stream 2 in Europe. Maybe that gave them ideas. Maybe they thought, oh, I know. We'll cut off the Strait of Hormuz. We'll report it as a war going on. But actually, we'll just destroy all the infrastructure over there. And then people pay even more for energy and use even less. Because to me, if I was being bombed by a certain country, I'd be going after that country or certainly what's bombing me. So, you know, there's all these ships over there right nearby, and that's what I'd be attacking if I was Iran. So why are they attacking all these other countries? It doesn't make sense, unless, of course, we're being told something different to what is actually going on. So again, don't believe what I say. Just read between the lines and decide for yourself, is what's being reported, does that make sense? What am I experiencing in my life? When I'm being told things are for my benefit, what benefit am I ever getting? And if you're not getting the benefit, then someone is. Okay, let's move on to... let's just do the BBC News top 10. I can't be bothered with Reuters. It's generally a mirror image of what's on the AP News, and I can't be bothered to deal with their pop-ups as well. So let's see. This is the top 10 most read headlines on stories. Well, I'll give you the headlines on BBC News at the present moment. Number 10, Israeli settlers laid siege to our home inside a Palestinian village under weekly attack. Number 9, Polanski says guillotine repost was a mistake but refuses to apologise. Number 8, the evidence that shows today's 20-somethings really do have it worse. Number 7, ticket prices set to rise by 15 pence as Heathrow able to recover runway project money. Number 6, Burnham to hold social care talks with Tories and Lib Dems. Number 5, workers face new tax and fury over FIFA plan. Yeah, apparently FIFA want to sell some shares in the next World Cup to business, and I'm wondering where the head of FIFA, I wonder who he got that idea from. I'll just leave that there. Number 4, unauthorised airport car park grows despite stop notice. Number 3, Brits urge to avoid dangerous plug adapters this summer, what to watch out for. Number 2, Saudi Arabia joins US in strikes on Iran-backed militias in Iraq. And number 1, 4 women accuse Jared Leto of criminal sexual conduct. So that is the BBC News top 10. Now let's see what is going on the Daily Mail website, which some people claim is the most read news website in the entire world. So it's, I will tell you, one thing I wanted to mention is I talk about China on this show now and then. I don't attribute all the world's ills to China, as many more prominent shows in the so-called alternative or independent media do. If anything, they're a proxy acting for someone else. But I am aware of all the great infrastructure and things that they have going on over there whilst the West seems to plunge itself into decay. And I was reminded today, when we're in our fourth heat wave so far of the summer, it's just going to be a one-day one today. Apparently it's going to go up to 32 degrees Celsius, which is about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's not like some people getting it in America of nearly 120 at the moment. But these heat domes, these heat waves, they seem to only be happening in the West and in America. I mean, maybe I've just not read the reports. Has anyone read the reports of them happening in China? And it takes me back to these stories about how the weather can be controlled. Maybe we're getting this delightful, scorchingly unpleasant weather. But other countries that also benefit from nice, shiny new stations, railway stations that I talked about in recent shows, maybe they're not experiencing it for some reason. I wonder why. Okay, so let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. Just have a drink. Oh, it will take a while to load up. The Daily Mail has become so farcical since they started putting a video in the bottom corner whenever you open the website. It now takes forever to load up the website. And I use Brave Browser, which blocks the ads anyway. But I keep getting pop-ups from Brave Browser asking me whether I want to close the page or wait for it to load. So, I mean, it might be that they're trying to do something to the Brave Browser because I'm blocking their adverts that they love so much. But there's it's finally loaded up. There's a top story here about cricket, which doesn't in any way interest me. Some couple lost a Spanish villa in the wildfires, which is sad. They put a lot of effort into that, they say. And here we are, going back to one of the headlines that I covered on the BBC News Top 10. Nigel Farage, Polanski must face consequences for his appalling guillotine tweet about me. Anne's murder shows the risk of violence is all too real. Now, basically what's happened here is the leader of the Green Party retweeted or reposted, I don't even know if it's Twitter, I've got to be so careful when I talk about this stuff, but essentially he circulated something that I think was sent to him, so he didn't produce it himself, and it had someone being put in the guillotine with a reference to I think it was Making Plans for Nigel, which is an XTC song, a very good song actually, That and Senses Working Overtime. And the first song on the English Settlement album is probably one of the most dreary songs I ever heard. I had a friend who was, when I was sort of 7, 8, 9, who had that album, and he put it on when I went to his house, and it would really freak me out, that first song on English Settlement. I digress as usual, so let's go back to this tweet, making plans for Nigel, there was someone going in a guillotine. Now, Nigel Farage's Reform Party, Anne Widdecombe was Reform Party, and she was killed by someone we're now told that he, I think he used a hammer or something, it was quite grisly murder, hit her about 20 times, something like that. So, of course, Nigel Farage is right to be concerned, and he claims already that he gets death threats all the time. I don't think anyone should get death threats. I don't believe in any sort of violence, to political violence, this sort of stuff. All that these acts ever do is that they increase censorship, which, again, benefit people who don't want you talking about them. But at the same time, again, my suspicious mind, I referred to conspiratorial earlier, the word I meant was suspicious. If you can't have, I mean, this was, it was political satire. It was inappropriate because someone had been killed from that party recently. Don't believe he should have done it. But it was very different to actually coming out and calling for harm. Do you see what I mean? But then people would say, well, you know, he knew he'd get done for that, so he's doing it this way instead. So you can read it whichever way you like. But I can't help thinking that this could be used to stop people making any criticisms of public figures, because it might lead to the death of someone like Anne Widdecombe. And so suddenly, you can't criticise, you can't have a voice. If you disagree with something that someone's doing, and you criticise them, it'll be, oh, well, someone might hear that and they might go after them now because you criticise them. And when we're in a world like that, I think it already is over, to be quite frank. But that's a dangerous path, and it's a path I think that we're going down, not just here, but in the US as well. I believe there was a trial recently. There's been all sorts of efforts over there to get rid of the First Amendment and bring in hate speech and stuff like that. But that pesky First Amendment keeps getting in the way. But I believe there was a case there recently where someone was ruled to have something that they said could result in violent conduct. So that seems to be a little way of circumventing the First Amendment that they're coming out with. That could be the case. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But the people in power do not want you talking about them. Because if you start telling people what they're up to, then people might not put up with it. And they don't want that. Because they want to keep their power. All I want, I'd ideally want to live under a theocracy, live under the laws of the Bible. They're already there. I don't believe we should be having people coming in with these their own silly ideas. I believe the head of the country shouldn't be a prime minister or a president. They should be called administrator. And it should be their job to administrate the laws of the Bible. And if they do it well, then they can get in again and get their salary and what have you. If they don't, then we try and put another administrator in who does it better, more faithful to the Bible. But there you go. It takes me back to small print, isn't it? I mean, how this world has degenerated into what it has. When you have to sign a contract for a phone or something, has anybody ever read all the small print? But you have to tick that you have. So everybody knows that nobody reads it. But you ticked it. So you said you read it. So we didn't know you didn't read it. Well, they never read it either. Unless, of course, they're people that were involved in drafting it. It'd be interesting to see what's in there. What should be in there is, right, you're signing up for this deal. If you don't pay us what we've agreed, then we'll do this. And if we don't deliver the service that you've asked, if you don't pay, then you'll compensate us in this way. And if we don't deliver the service that we've asked, then we'll compensate you in that way. That's really all that needs to be in there. Not all this other stuff that's there, but it's they wouldn't put it in if it wasn't for their own benefit. In the same way, a political manifesto. If somebody gets into power and they don't do what they promised in their manifesto, then they should be booted out. It's breach of contract with the people that voted them in. Because they only voted them in because of what they promised, and now they're in, they just do what they like. Interesting, isn't it, contract law, how it only seems to apply selectively, a bit like laws generally today. Okay, so let's see now what's going on in the independent media. So let's start off with rents.com. Just wait for that to load up here. Great time for water to go down the wrong way. Excuse me. Right. Let's see the top stories. US considered special forces operation with Army Rangers and Navy SEALs to secure Iran's uranium. Yemen's Houthis say targeted Saudi tanker in Red Sea. It's all about this conflict over there. The first tranche of stories here. So let's go over to Hal Turner Radio Show. Now, the last I heard, he was on vacation. And that was the top story, I think, from last Friday. And that is still the top story. So he's having a well-earned break. And we'll see if he's what he comes back with. If he's away for a week or two, I'm not sure. But let's click on it and see what he says. I think he's just gone for a week. So, yeah, just get away from it for a while. And he might be back in time for his Friday show. So I think you can listen via certain radio things there. But if you want to get the archive stuff like that, you have to be a subscriber. So I imagine we'll be seeing more posts from him at some time over the weekend coming up. Okay, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis' website, see what's happening over there. So Mark has still got this moral party that he's been working with. Quote at the top, spiritual moral party platform section 2, the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus Christ. Each of us must fully understand that this issue is likely the most important we will ever face. We are in the fiercest spiritual battle to control the heart and soul of our once great country, as well as our beautiful planet. moralparty.com/spiritual. I've not looked into any of that yet. Yeah, I will look at it. So let's move on to the Before It's News to close out the show with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. So let's see what's going on over here. Wait for it to load up. Scroll down to number 10. Number 10 went up 8 hours ago, 49 people viewing. Mark Taylor returns after 3 months. Wickedness in high places. Number 9 went up 14 hours ago, 56 people viewing. And we know 7/28/26, enough have seen, domino effect. It's time to end the horror show, Fauci Communists. Number 8 went up 12 hours ago, 58 people viewing. 58 people viewing. Dr. Jim Willie, urgent emergency, 7/28/26, a time of dire straits. Number 7 went up a day ago, 63 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and David Nino Rodriguez, shocking intel, 7/28/26, coming national emergency. Number 6 went up 8 hours ago, 81 people viewing. News treason, D-class, 7/29/26. Trump teases big announcement, Fauci's diary released. Number 5 went up 7 hours ago, 100 people viewing. Juan O'Savin, 7/29/26, it's go time. Massive Q military mission. Number 4 went up 12 hours ago, 107 people viewing. Josh Reed, end time alert, 7/28/26, all secrets will be exposed. Number 3 went up 8 hours ago, 109 people viewing. New X-22 report, Trump has been creating the storm, biggest sting operation in the world. Number two, we're up 4 hours ago, 114 people viewing. Bollington Bombshell Report, worldwide EBS activation imminent. Internet, TV, radio, phones could be, and then the headline runs out. And number one, we're up 6 hours ago, 197 people viewing. Judy Byington, Juan O'Savin and Charlie Ward. Trump breaking news, 7:29:26. Tribunals, trials, Gitmo trains, big Intel update. So let's go and play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me today for I'm Talking To You, episode 273, Fast Multiplier. I plan to be back with my next new show with Dr. Peter Hammond for the last book of the Old Testament on Tuesday. And until then, folks, enjoy the Bible reading. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week and bye for now.